दौड़ के जाओ, कमर रखो मेरे को टेबल के ऊपर, ऐसा रखना, चलो ऐसा रखना, उल्टी करो,
हरिगीता सूरी ब्रूहीरा शाम 6, 7, 8, you'll say. So, sixth verse. Rishaya Uchuru. Rishayaha. This is a plural. And you should understand Rishaya means there are many rishis are there. All the rishis are speaking. What does it mean? All the 88,000 rishis speaking at the same time. It is not like that. Rishaya Uchu means there is one representative of all the rishis. It is not like the Indian parliament where everybody speaks and nobody understands what the other person is speaking. Everybody is shouting, not speaking. It is not like that. They are very disciplined. 88,000 sages headed by Shaunaka, Shaunaka Rishi. So the leader of the assembly, he is the representative. Actually, when the speaker is sitting in the Vyasasana, he should be respected by the leader of the assembly who are sitting there. It is not that in the temple sometimes it so happens, the speaker is invited and he is asked to sit on the Vyasasana. And the speaker sits on the Vyasasana and the leader or the temple president or some senior devotee says, and he calls somebody, hey, go and put the garland on his head. No, he will not do that. He is not supposed to do that. The leader of the assembly, he is supposed to offer respect. Why is it so? Others think if our leader himself is offering respect, that means we should also offer respect to the speaker. So always offering of the respect should be done by the leader of the assembly. So in this way, Shaunaka Rishi, he is the person who is speaking. But he is speaking on behalf of all the rishis. That is why the plural is used. He is echoing what the rishis are feeling through his words. So it is actually one person speaking, but he is speaking on behalf of all the rishis. That is why the word Rishayaha has been used. Rishayaha Uchuhu. They started speaking. Now, what did they say? Toya. Kalu Puranani. Toya. Toya means you. In English, there is only you for everything. At least in Hindi, you have tum or a. But what to do? In English, there is only you. For a very respectful person also, you come. For a stupid person also, you come. There is no differentiation in offering of respect. Differentiation in respect. That makes this language very much limited. So the word Toya, Toya is actually a singular way of addressing, but it has been addressed in a plural format, in the sense that Toya, you are, but you are in a very respectful way. Generally in Sanskrit, the perfect word for addressing you in a very respectful way is Bhavan. Bhavan means your greatness, you are a very respectful person. Ah. So, but still here, Toya is used. It is very much appropriate. There is nothing wrong in that. Toya Kalu. The word Kalu refers to definitely. There is no doubt in this. So, the rishis of Naimisharanya, they are telling or they are offering respects to Sutta Goswami by telling that we don't have any doubt about your credibility. Toya Kalu. Why? Because Puranani. You are very expert in all Puranas. We don't have any doubt about it. There is absolutely no doubt. It is not that we are sitting here to examine, to test whether you are going to speak properly or not. No. There is some audience who do that. They will be sitting and very carefully listening. Kya bol raha hai? Achha, achha, achha. Let me hear whether he is speaking properly or not. They are saying right or wrong. So they are not sitting in that mood. They are sitting with absolute understanding that whatever he is going to speak is perfect. And then, Toya Kalu Purana. You are very expert in all the Puranas. So, what is the meaning of Purana? Purana means old. Whatever has happened before. Purana. Toya kal Puranani cha itihasani. Say itihasani. So, and you are also expert in itihasas. Now, what is the difference between a Purana and a Itihasa? So the difference between Purana and Itihasa is like this. Purana, it talks about all the kings who appeared in both the Vamshas, the Sun dynasty and the Moon dynasty, Chandra Vamsha and Surya Vamsha. There are so many kings who appeared in Chandra Vamsha, one by one. He was born to him. And this way the Purana gives a list. He was there, he was born to him, from him he was born. In this way, all the kings are listed and some important kings, their description is given in the Puranas. But Itihasa is talking about one particular king who is very much exalted in that particular dynasty. Now, Mahabharata and Ramayana, they are known as Itihasas. Why they are known as Itihasas, Mahabharata and Ramayana? Because Mahabharata is talking about one great personality who appeared in the Chandra Vamsha, that is Krishna. And Ramayana talks about one great personality who appeared in the Surya Vamsha, that is Lord Ramachandra. So it talks about only one king, or maybe one or two kings, primarily about one king, who is very exalted, because in the Puranas, while describing all the kings, about one exalted king cannot be described adequately in that particular Purana. Now just imagine, Mahabharata has got 1 lakh verses. Now if that 1 lakh verses describing Krishna has to be fitted in Purana, it's very difficult. So in the line of kings, one king becomes special. So his description has to be done elaborately. That is done in Itihasa. So that is the difference between Purana and Itihasa. Generally Puranam Panchalakshanam. Puranas have got 5 lakshanas, there are 5 subject matters in the Puranas. This Bhagavatam has got 10 subject matters. That is why Srimad Bhagavatam is known as Mahapurana. Because there are certain things in Bhagavatam which is not there in the normal Puranas. The normal Puranas, they have only creation, subnivation, Manvantara, and the kings which are coming in different lineage, Rajavamshas, Vamshavali, and in this way there are 5 lakshanas in the Puranas. But in Bhagavatam there is one special thing. What is that? Ashchaya Tattva. That we will be discussing further later. We will not confuse you now. But the point is, we should know Srimad Bhagavatam is known as Mahapurana. Why it is known as Mahapurana? Because it has got 10 subject matters. What are they and all, that's all later. But in normal Puranas, there are 5 subject matters. There are total 18 Puranas. And every Purana has got a Upapurana. And every Upapurana has got a Upakhyana. So in this way, Vyasa just did not write 18 Puranas. He wrote the Upapuranas also for every Purana. And for every Upapurana, he has written a Upakhyana. So our Vedic literature is about history. Historic understanding of history is very vast. It is not the textbook which the students study in the schools, colleges these days. That history is nothing. It's like a speck. It's rubbish. It's garbage in front of Puranas. In the schools you have, what is it called? Old Stone Age, medieval history, and modern Indian history, all kinds of history. This is not history. This is a story. Somebody made a story to put a blemish on the Sanatana Dharma, on the Vedic literatures, on the Aryan civilization, which is there flourishing in this land for millions of years, to put blemish onto it. They made a history. The history says that 5,000 years back, they were some humans. They were not knowing how to light fire. They used to take 2 stones and rub, and some fire used to come. And they did not have any language also properly. They used to make some signs. And they used to fight with stones, that is known as old stone age man. And they find some stones like in the archaeological department. So they use it as a spear. And now you see, this they used to light fire. And now that is where they start cooking. Otherwise they used to eat raw things. They used to eat raw animals. But they don't know. 5,000 years back, Mahabharata, there was a very high grade culture going on. So these are all old Stone Age man, new Stone Age man, and ancient Indian history, medieval Indian history, or all these things are wrong. There are his stories. The real history is in the Puranas. Now just imagine, if you read this history, and then what will happen in this history? You will find about a king who has put his father in jail and took away the kingdom. That is what you find. And if you read Ramayana, you will find there is a great person who for the sake of his father, he gave up the kingdom and went to forest. So just see what kind of impact will be there by reading Ramayana. What kind of impact will be there by reading these books? So if you read the modern history, what is being spoken in this call, schools and colleges, all the children will think, when somebody in the history, he has done this and he has come in the history book, maybe I will also do something like that. I will also put my father in jail or kill my father and take the property early. Why wait for his death? Isn't it? So that is what will come into his mind. But when he reads Ramayana, there will be totally different impact. Somebody told me that, these things are all mythology, they never happened. I told, even though it did not happen, if you root them, you will become a good person. What is wrong in that? Even though you consider, if it is beneficial by reading this, then why don't you accept it? Then there is no answer for it. So, history is Purana and Itihasa. If at all, if somebody wants to do some good to this land, this country, you collect all the history textbooks, all the books written on history, and then burn them. So that is one good thing which can be done, the whole nation. Because what happens is, if I want to spoil your reputation, what I will do? You will mean I will spoil the reputation of your ancestors, your father, mother, grandfather. That is what happens in very low class communities. What they do is they scold each other. When they scold each other, they don't scold each other directly. They scold their fathers, mothers and all. Isn't it? Why they do that? Because once that your ancestors, your predecessors, they have been given blemish, you are also useless. If they are useless, then you person coming from that person is also useless only. So the British, they designed a means of how to prove that people in this land are useless, are aborigines, or old Stone Age people, they are ritualistic and uncultured. To prove that, they misinterpreted the literatures, they created a history which is actually not true. The real history is Puranas and Itihasas. So here they are saying, Rishaya Uchuhu, Rishis say, Sutta Goswami, Toya Kalu, definitely we accept you because you know all the Puranas and all the Itihasas. Toya Kalu Puranani, Se Itihasani, Cha Anagha, Cha means end. You know the Puranas and the Itihasas. Not only that, you are Anagha. Krishna also uses this word in Bhagavad Gita. To says Anagha, sinless person. You must have heard this word Aghasura. Agha means what? Agha means sinful person, sin. Actually, Agha means sin. In Krishna's pastime, there is a snake known as Aghasura. One who has taken birth as a snake, or the living entity which takes birth as in the snake's community, only when somebody has done very sinful activity, when some great sin has been done, then only is put in the snake's body. And the snake's body does more sin. Why does more sin? Because the snake is actually envious. Yes, poison is there in the snake. So, because of this poison, lot of sinful activities are done. So, Tvayakalu Puranani Sitihasani Cha Anagha. Now here, Sutta Goswami is being glorified as Anagha. Anagha means what? One who is sinless, who doesn't have any sin within him. And what is the greatest sin? Is enviousness. Enviousness is the greatest sin. All the sins are born out of enviousness. So that is why snakes are known as Agha. Because they are very envious. Without you giving trouble to the snake will come and give trouble to you. And they just, by your presence only. All other animals, they only have some, there will be some reason for they coming and harming you. A lion will kill only when it is hungry. But a snake will kill without being hungry also. It just comes and indiscriminately goes on disturbing people. It kills people. It poisons people. Why? Because of they having this kind of tendency to commit sin. Tvayakul puranani setihasani cha nagha. So snakes are very sinful and you say you are not sinful at all. So Srila Prabhupada in the Bhagavad Gita talks about four kinds of sinful activities which should be avoided by the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. So what are the four kinds of sinful activities we know very well? That is no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex and no gambling. But the acharyas explain, the word anagha means not only just avoiding these sinful activities, but also the greatest sin a person can commit is to make Bhagavatam as the means of his livelihood. Bhagavatam as the means of one's livelihood. That is a very great sin. It is more greater than any of the sinful activities which one can do. Like these days, people are doing this thing. What are they doing? They are making Bhagavatam as the means of their livelihood. So they use something so great and wonderful, so spiritual, for meeting up their material needs. So when that is done, he becomes agha, he becomes sinful. The speaker of Bhagavatam immediately becomes sinful when he starts expecting some money or some kind of livelihood in return of speaking Bhagavatam. That is how in the age of Kali, we find this very rampant. There are some people who call me also and tell, oh, Maharaj, humko Bhagavat sabka karana hai, aap kitna lenge? Directly. Like not a negotiation. Then I told humko nahi karna hai, and I put the phone back. I don't want to do it. So it is very simple to do that. To take some money in return for Bhagavat, speaking Bhagavat. So these sages, they told this thing, which means that during that time also there were some people like this. They are speaking some Puranas and earning their livelihood. So the sages of Naimisharanya, they knew you are Agha, you are a sinless person, because you are purely speaking Bhagavatam only for the pleasure of Krishna. You know the Puranas and Itihasas for the pleasure of Krishna only. You are not interested in any kind of sinful activities. So Vyakra Puranani Sityasani Chanaka Akhyatyanyapyaditani. And what to speak of your experience? Now, your experience of Puranas and Itihasas is not just limited to some study, some reading. No. Your experience because of Akhyatyan Aditani. Akhyatani and Aditani. Aditani means you have read them very well. Now, not only you have read and heard, but you have akhyatani, you have explained that. Now here, any spiritual subject matter, any scripture, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, the benefit, perfect benefit and ultimate benefit one gets when he hears and then he explains. When you hear and explain, then what happens is the churning happens. That when the churning happens, the nectar comes out. Otherwise, if you just go on reading like a newspaper or a magazine, what will happen? You will get some information. But the information needs to be churned. How you can churn the information? When we hear and explain. That is why if somebody wants to get the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam, they not only should just go on reading like a bookworm, but should hear the Srimad Bhagavatam very attentively. And then explain. If the explanation of Srimad Bhagavatam is not done by every individual, you may say, if I explain, who will listen? Nobody will listen, no problem. You explain to tables and chairs, no problem. By doing that, what happens is the chanting goes on. Srila Prabhupada says, Aditani means hearing, Akhyatani means to explain, that is Kirtan. That is Shravan and Kirtan. If you consider Shravan and Kirtan as the two ropes which are tied to the churning rod of your mind, and the Bhagavatam to be the buttermilk or whatever the thing is, then what will happen? The butter comes out, the realization comes out. If you consider your heart to be the buttermilk or the buttermilk, and the mind to be the churning rod, and the two ropes which are the two ends of the rope which is going to churn the rod, as Shravan and Kirtan are hearing and speaking, then what will happen? By churning, it comes out, butter comes out, realization comes out. Realization doesn't come out just by reading. Srila Prabhupada writes a very powerful statement in this particular line. He says that to hear and explain them is more important than reading them. And he says, history is like Mahabharata and Ramayana, which are also part of Vedas. The Acharyas and Goswamis must be well acquainted with these literatures. So Acharyas and Goswamis should be well acquainted with these literatures. To hear and explain them is more important than just reading them. What does that mean? Just reading them, you will get some information. But when you hear the same subject matter, and when you hear and also explain it to others, that is why we should be very, very sincere, not only in hearing, but also in organizing some programs within your house, when taking some classes to somebody, whom you know, whom you don't know. Wherever you go, try to explain the science of Krishna consciousness, Bhagavatam, to others. Even though it may be one person, two person, even though it may be nobody, no problem. But we should try to explain. When you hear and explain, the realizations are more. So that is what is spoken here. As Akhyatyanapi Adhikara, O Sukha Goswami, you have explained, not only heard, but you have explained it many places. Since you have explained it, you got lot of experience. Experience not comes by speaking Krishna consciousness, by teaching. I always speak this point wherever I go. That is, if you want to become a very good student, you need to be a teacher. If you want to be a very good teacher, you need to be a very good student. If you want to be a very good student, you need to be a very good teacher. It's like vice versa. You need to be a teacher means you need to explain. How can you explain without being, without studying, without hearing, without being a good student? You cannot be a good teacher. And if you want to be a good student, if you want to be a good learner, you should be a teacher. You should be a good teacher. That means, in a sense, whenever I am learning, I should learn in the sense that how I can explain to others. When I am trying to explain, I should have learned it in such a way that I am able to present it very clearly. So that is why Srila Prabhupada also says in the purport, and it also said in this verse, Akhyatyanyapiditani. The expertise of a speaker of Bhagavatam is not just that he is a bookworm and he is speaking some information. He should have heard many, many times and he has explained the same thing many, many times. Dharma Shastranyanyata. Next is Dharma Shastranyanyata. Yo, Sukha Goswami, you are not only expert in Puranas and Itihasas, but you are also expert in what? Dharma Shastra. So what is this Dharma Shastra? What are the scriptures called Dharma Shastras? There are many levels of scriptures. There are some scriptures on economics and politics. They are known as Niti Shastra. They are political in nature. They are economic in nature. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, that kind of thing. Artha, science of economics. Okay, how to share the land, how to divide property, who has got the rights of this property, this kind of thing. Very gross, materialistic thing. But of course, it is suggested from a Vedic point of view. But beyond the Artha Shastras and the Niti Shastras, there is something called Dharma Shastras. Dharma Shastras means the duties of a householder, how, what are the responsibilities of a wife, what are the responsibilities of a husband, how the wife should behave, how the husband should behave, how the children should behave, how one should behave towards the Brahmins, how one should behave towards the Kshatriyas. They are known as Dharma Shastras. Generally, Yajnavalkya, Bhatruhari, they are all expert in Dharma Shastras. They have written many, many books on Dharma Shastras. So these Dharma Shastras, they are not completely spiritual. At the same time, they are not completely on the gross materialistic path. They bring a person to the mode of goodness. But beyond Dharma Shastras, there are Jnana Shastras. They talk about the knowledge of the soul, that is the Upanishads. They are known as Jnana Shastras. They talk about how this material world is temporary, miserable, matter is destructive, anyhow the death is certain, the soul is eternal. That distinction between matter and spirit is spoken in Jnana Shastras. They are spiritual, but it is not filled with rasa. But beyond the Jnana Shastras, there is Bhakti Shastra. These Bhakti Shastras, they are talking about Krishna, devotees, devotion, service to Krishna, how different devotees are experiencing bliss in serving Krishna, how Krishna is reciprocating with them. These scriptures, they are known as Bhakti Shastras. One is the Artha Shastra. Beyond that there is, what is it? Dharma Shastra. And of course, Artha Shastra and Niti are the same platform. It is like Niti means that you don't cheat me. Without cheating, we'll distribute the property. That is called Niti. That's also economics. So moral code of conduct. And beyond that there is Dharma Shastra. That is not just moral, that is little bit religious. Beyond morality is religiosity. And beyond religiosity is what? The Jnana Shastras. Beyond the Jnana Shastras, what is there? Bhakti Shastra, that is the topmost of all scriptures. Now here, Toya, Puranas and Itihasas, they are Bhakti Shastras. Then here they explain that, oh Sutta Goswami, you not only know the Bhakti Shastras of the Puranas and Itihasas, but you also know Dharma Shastras very well. It is not that you are not cognizant. It is not that you don't know the Dharma Shastras. You are very expert in Dharma Shastras also. If somebody comes with a query on Dharma Shastras, you are able to solve that also. Very nice. In this way, in this particular verse, the Rishis of Naimisharanya, they are glorifying Sutta Goswami. So they are respecting through the words. Glorification is a form of respect shown by our words. So here, you are expert in Puranas and Itihasas, number one. Number two, you are anagha, you are sinless. And number three, you are very experienced because you have heard and explained it many times. Number four, you are expert in Dharma Shastras. In this way, four aspects of Sutta Goswami, the speaker of Bhagavatam, are spoken in this particular verse. And after that, they go to the next verse. So they say, Yani Vedavidam Sreshto Bhagavan Badarayana Anye Jumane Sutta Rar Vidho Vidhu. Now somebody may explain, Acha, he knows Dharma Shastras and some Purana, some stories. I think that he is not so good in philosophy. Somebody may say, and somebody would be giving some Bhagavatam class, speaking some Krishna Katha. Somebody would be sitting in the Bhagavatam class who is a little bit kind of logical tendencies has got in his mind. What story is he speaking? I think he doesn't know philosophy. This may come in the mind. So the Rishis, they explain to the Goswami, you are not only expert in some Dharma Shastras and the Bhakti Shastras, the Puranas, but you are expert in other things also. What are they? Let us see. What is that? That is Yani. All along with that, all that means along with whatever we spoken, Veda Vidam Sreshto Bhagavan Badarayana Anye Cha Mune Suta Ravar Vidhu. You are Paravara Vidaha. Those who are very expert in logic and you are expert in so many other aspects of philosophy, you are the best among them. Why you are the best among them? Because there is something called six systems of philosophy. Six systems of philosophy. We all should know. At least we should know the names. Srila Prabhupada, in the purport of this particular verse, he says that one can sit on the Vyasasana only after being conversant with all the systems of philosophy, so that one can present fully the thesistic use of Bhagavatam in defense with other systems. So, there is a joke regarding this. Prabhupada says this thing. One can sit on the Vyasasana only after knowing six systems of philosophy. So there was one devotee who was giving a class on Srimad Bhagavatam, and he says in his class that Prabhupada says that one can sit on the Vyasasana only after knowing the six systems of philosophy. Then he asks everybody, do you know all the six systems of philosophy? Everybody is just keeping quiet, nobody knows. Then says, I will tell you six systems of philosophy, because I am sitting on the Vyasasana, because I should know it. So then he is just trying to, and he is searching with a paper. He has written down the six systems of philosophy. And what has happened, some fan is rotating on now, and the paper got lost. From the Vyasasana, he is repeating the same point. One can sit on the Vyasasana only after knowing the six systems of philosophy. And he's searching the paper, it's already 5 minutes. Then he has to do some concoction. And he's sitting on the Vyasasana. Say, six systems of philosophy are Buddhism, Jainism. Something he's doing called six systems. But actually, what is six systems of philosophy are this thing? And it is Nyaya, Vaisheshika. And there is Sankhya, Yoga, Purvimamsa and Uttarvimamsa. Nyaya Vaisheshika, Sankhya, Purvimamsa and Uttarvimamsa. They are the names of the six systems of philosophy. If not knowing all the six systems of philosophy, at least we should know the names. Srila Prabhupada has written in purport. One should know them. Why? Why you should know them? Because the six systems of philosophy are wrong. They don't have any truth in them. They don't have absolute truth in them. They have got some truth, relative truth, not absolute truth. Now, it doesn't explain the complete truth in the six systems of philosophy. But a person sitting in the Vyasasana should know them. Why? Because if you want to present something which is absolutely true, you have to present it in the light of the relative truth. If you want to explain that how Krishna consciousness is blissful, for that you need to speak how material world is miserable. In the same way, so to present the Bhagavatam philosophy, Prabhupada says in defense, one has to present Bhagavatam in defense with the six systems of philosophy. In defense of the six systems of philosophy means, for example, if you are eating sweet every day, how will you know the sweetness of the sweet? Only when you are tasted bitter, then only you will come to know the sweetness of the sweet, isn't it? In the same way, if somebody wants to relish Bhagavatam, or he understand what is the speciality of Bhagavatam, he should know, or it should be presented in such a way, in defense of the six systems of philosophy. Then the glory of Bhagavatam will be highlighted. So as a preacher, as a person sitting on the Vyasasana, to present Srimad Bhagavatam, it should be presented in defense of the six systems of philosophy. So in this verse, Sutta Goswami is glorified for his very high class knowledge of the six systems of philosophy. Not only the knowledge of the six systems of philosophy, but the speciality of Srimad Bhagavatam among the six systems, or in defense of the six systems, he knows. That is why they say, Yani Veda Vidam Sreshto Bhagavan Bhadrayana Anyecha Mane Sutta Parava Yani Veda Vidam Sreshto Bhagavan Bhadrayana. In the six systems of philosophy, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Sankhya, Yoga, Purvimamsa, Uttarvimamsa. The Uttarvimamsa means it talks about Vedanta Sutras. Vedanta Sutra is the Uttarvimamsa. And this is written by whom? It is written by Vyasa himself. That is why Vyasa has been described here as Veda Vidam Sreshto Bhagavan Vadarayana. So Vosudha Goswami, you not only know the conclusions given by the other sages, Anyecha Munayaha, you also know the perfect conclusion given by Vyasa Badarayana. That means you also know the Vedanta Sutra. And you are going to speak Bhagavatam. What is the Srimad Bhagavatam? It is nothing but the commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So that is why you are para avara vidu vidu. You are expert among all the kinds of philosophers who know the Brahman, the impersonal aspect, and also who know the personal aspect also. So in this way, you are the best philosopher. So in this particular words, the doubt which may come in the mind of people, Sutta Goswami is just a storyteller. Maybe when he is speaking something, some dharma, be good like that. He may not be very logical, philosophical understanding. He may not have, he may not be explained, he may not be able to explain. That kind of doubt may be there in the audience. Right? That kind of doubt may be in some people. To remove that doubt, they are glorifying Sutta Goswami's position of being a very exalted philosopher who knows the wrong philosophy, who knows the right philosophy, and who can explain the right philosophy in defense of the wrong philosophy, and he can defeat all kinds of wrong philosophies. That is the position of a speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, that he should have the expertise of defeating the antagonistic philosophies. After the whole Ramayana got over, means in the sense that about the last day, Ravan is going to be killed tomorrow. Vijayadashmi is tomorrow. Lord Ram and Lakshman, you go to Ravan and learn something. Lakshman told, you are the Supreme Lord, I am with you. Why I should go to somebody else? Whatever I have to learn, I learn from you only. Lord Ram told Lakshman, that if you are with me, you will learn only what is right. But if you go to Ravan, he will tell you what should not be done. So I want that you should have complete knowledge. Complete knowledge means to know what is supposed to be done and what is not supposed to be done. What is right and what is wrong. If somebody knows just what is right and he doesn't know what is wrong, there may be a possibility of he accepting something wrong to be right. So then Lakshman went and learned from Ravan. There is also one system there. And he went, Lakshman thought, Ravan, he went and then very arrogantly he stood at Ravan, third class person. Anyway, tell, Ram has sent me. Ravan did not teach him anything. He gave me, Ravan is not speaking anything to me. Then Lord Ram asked him, what were you doing? Where do you go? I just stood at his head. Then Ram told Lakshman, the system is the same. If you want to learn something from anybody, Tadviddhi Pani Bahadina Pani Pashtena Sevaya, you have to do. Then Lakshman had to go at the feet of Ravan and Ravan spoke. What is not supposed to be done, he all spoke. In your life, don't do this. Don't, I am telling you about my experience. That is why it is always good to hear our parents, because they will tell you what is not supposed to be done. One boy came to me, my father is telling, don't do this, every time he is troubling me. I thought it is good to hear from them because he knows only that. What is not, not supposed to be done because he has done it whole life. Out of experience he is telling, don't do this. So, it is very good to know what is not supposed to be done also. So what is wrong also? In this way, Sutta Goswami is a very expert philosopher. He knows all the six systems of philosophy and the Vyasa's conclusion. At the same time, he is expert in presenting Vyasa's conclusion in defense with the six systems of philosophy. What the six systems of philosophy are, who are the founders, the details and all will not go for now. It will be very confusing for you because you are a very new audience at present. So Srila Prabhupada says, Srila Sutta Goswami was a proper teacher and therefore the sages of Naimisharanya elevated him to the Vyasasana. Srila Vyasadeva is designated here as the Supreme Personality of God because he is authorized, empowered incarnation. The word Bhagavan Badarayana, the Vyasa is addressed here as Bhagavan because he is empowered incarnation of the Supreme Lord. He is known as Shakti Aveshavata. Sahitya Shakti has been infused in Vyasa for writing all the Vedic literatures. So in this way, Sutta Goswami is glorified in these two verses, because we are getting late, so we will discuss the other words next time. Any questions, please do ask. His question is, in Bhagavatam, the six systems are explained positively, like Sankhya. In the third canto, you will find Sankhya explained by Devyuti Kapila. So that is what is the problem when we, in the general understanding. So, the Sankhya spoken by Kapila is not the same Sankhya spoken by the atheistic Kapila. There is two kinds of Sankhya. Srila Prabhupada in the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, 39th verse, he speaks about this. He writes in the Bhagavad. He says there are two kinds of Sankhya. The atheistic Kapila Sankhya and atheistic Kapila Sankhya. So atheistic Kapila Sankhya is described in Sankhya Sutras. What is described in Bhagavatam as Sankhya spoken by Devayuti's Kapila to Devayuti, that Sankhya is pure devotional service. Of course, there is one more Sankhya spoken by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita second chapter. But that Sankhya is something between these two. That is speaking about Jnana Mishra Bhakti. So one is atheistic Sankhya. The other two, Krishna's Sankhya and Devayuti Kapila's Sankhya, both are devotional. But one is pure devotion, that is in Bhagavatam. In Bhagavad Gita, that is Jnana Mishra Bhakti. That has to be understood. So what is spoken in the third canto by Kapila, that is not that Sankhya, which is coming in the six systems of philosophy. Any more questions? Same, everything. Anything else? Any more questions? Any more questions? Yes. Snake is Ananta. Ananta. Ananta Sesha. So that snake is the expansion of Krishna himself. So the transcendental snake is expansion of Balaram. Krishna expands Balaram and Balaram expands as Sankarsana and Sankarsana expands as Anantadeva. Because Balaram serves the Lord in all the five rasas. What are the five rasas? Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya. There are five kinds of rasas. So Lord Balaram serves Krishna. In all the five rasas, so he should serve in the Shantaras. Shantaras means he serves as umbrella, he serves as a bed, he serves as a shoes, he serves as different paraphernalia of the Lord. So that snake is Balaram's direct expansion. So, it's got 2.5 coils and the hoods are coming. And that snake is having all the planet systems like the jewels on its mouth. It's got thousands of hoods. So these are the special transcendental snake. But now the material world, what you find in this thing is not actually that thing. That is, and Lord Shiva, he is also wearing a snake. No, Lord Shiva he is constantly carrying Anantadev. The same Ananta is there on the neck of Lord Shiva. Because Lord Shiva is worshipping Sankarsana. Sankarsana became so pleased that he himself became a garland for Lord Shiva. And Sankarsana, for him, garland means snake only, isn't it? He cannot become flowers. He knows, okay, garland means like become a snake. So in this form of a snake, Ananta is there adoring Lord Shiva. So it is not an ordinary snake. That must be understood. You want the names of the six systems of philosophy so that you can sit on Vyasasana tomorrow. That's what Prabhupada says. Isn't it? It shows why we should not sit. Everybody can sit on the Vyasasana. You know the six systems of philosophy, memorize them, come and sit. Anyway. The first one is Nyaya. Nyaya means what? Logic. Nyaya is not justice, logic. So justice which is logically proved, that is Nyaya. But ultimately Nyaya means it is logic. So finding out absolute truth by logic is a process. Logic is the process. Tarka is a process. After Nyaya, Nyaya system of philosophy was propounded by who? By Gautama. And after Nyaya there is Vaisheshika. Vaisheshika system of philosophy was propounded by Kanada. And Vaisheshika says that also uses logic as a means. But they say that the atoms are the source of everything, these two philosophies. That is Nyaya and Vaisheshika, what they say? Atoms and the combination of atoms is the source of everything. They are similar to the scientists, these days scientists. These days scientists, what they say? Everything is atom. Dalton's theory of atom. So they say atom is everything. The whole world is made up of atoms. There is nothing smaller than atom. Atoms combine, they become different forms, atoms. Molecules, molecules become substances, substances become compounds, all these things are there. There is energy. They are completely confused. That is the point. What is physics? Physics is nothing but the confusion of the absolute truth. When you try to find out absolute truth in matter and get confused, that becomes physics. In the confusion, when they cry, that becomes chemistry. Isn't it? And to try to solve the confusion, that is called mathematics. Isn't it? So in that confusion, when they get frustrated and cry out, that is known as art. So when they are crying out, they feel frustrated, more frustrated. And then they want something to eat, some money to be made, so that becomes commerce. So the whole subject matter is, what we find in this world is nothing but frustration. So these two, the original Vedic physicists, they are the Nyayas, Nyaya and Vaisheshika. Nyaya, Vaisheshika, and then there is Sankhya. Sankhya is propounded by Kapila, atheistic Kapila. So this Sankhya says, material nature is the source of everything. Material nature is the source of everything. So there are Sankhya. And then there is Yoga. Yoga says, universal consciousness is the source of everything and is propounded by Patanjali. Universal consciousness is the source of everything and is propounded by Patanjali. Sankhya Yoga, Purva Mimamsa. This is propounded by Gemini. He says that karma is everything. You do good, you will get good. You do bad, you will get bad. That's all. If you do good, God has to give you good. He is also bound by karma. That means, if you want to control God, you can control God by your karma. That is what is his philosophy. So that is, and for him, the goal of life is to go to heaven and enjoy. That is called Purva Mimamsa. Purva Mimamsa or what is the name? Karma Kanda. You can say Karma Kanda. Karmamimamsa, Karmakanda. And the sixth one is Uttarimamsa, that is written by Vyasa, Vedanta Sutra. The goal of life is to go back home, back to God, to the spiritual world, and proponent Vyasa. So, Nyaya Vaisheshika Sakyo Purvamamsa Uttarimamsa, Gautama Kumara Kapila, Patanjali, Jaimini Vyasa. These are the six people. Okay. So all of you tomorrow can sit on the Vyasas. So you have to make many Vyasasas. Vyasasana means not this only. Wherever you sit and speak about Krishna, that becomes Vyasasana. Wherever you sit. Maybe you are traveling in train and there you are sitting and speaking about Krishna to your person sitting in front of you. That train seat becomes Vyasasana. That's it. So you should do that. Then lot of realizations will be there. Any more questions? Prasadam is delayed today, so if there is no questions, we will have bhajan. Yes. There are two things. One question and question is, Balsam starts the order killing the snake and what? Not only ordered, he is taking pleasure when the snake has been killed. What is the purpose? Why it is so? Saints are supposed to be compassionate. So here, the saints are compassionate, that is true. But there are two creatures, the snake and the scorpion. They are by nature envious. They cause harm without reason. Any other animal or any other living entity, they cause harm with some reason. A tiger, as a lion, as I told, if a lion is full of stomach, you can just go nearby the lion, it will not do anything to you. Only when it is hungry, it will hunt and kill. Once it is full, it is peaceful. Doesn't do anything to you. Even though you go and near, sit and sit nearby, it may just roar, that's all, it will not do anything to you. How many of you tried out? I tried out. I tried out in Mysore Zoo. Yes, I tried out. I remember when I was a small kid, I told a person who was, can I go inside? Yes, I can. You can go inside. And after that, I told her, oh, you will come? I'll come. So no problem. So then he took me. So I lined there. He was there, the lion was there. Peaceful city. Very big lion, no problem. So, but there is another lion roaring like anything. It is not eaten. There if you go, next part. You can't do. So this snake is poisonous and it harms without any reason. So the only thing which the sadhus hate is enviousness. Any other thing, even though lust, anger, greed, all these things they will tolerate, they will forgive, they will show compassion, but enviousness they cannot tolerate. Because that is the reason of us coming back to this material world. Iccha desha dvesha samutvena dvanda mohena bharata sarge yanti sammo. The very purpose of sadhu's life is to take everybody back home, back to Godhead. And they know very well the purpose we came to this material world is enviousness. And they hate this enviousness like anything. So when they see the snake and the snake being killed, they are seeing this enviousness towards Krishna and living in this being killed. So that is how the sadhus enjoy seeing that enviousness is being beaten up. Enviousness is being beaten. The sadhu's anger is only towards enviousness. So Prabhupada, first when he saw Balasana's Thakur ordering and then taking pleasure when the snake is being killed, Prabhupada thought, oh, what is this? Why is he doing this? Then later on, after many years, when he was translating Bhagavatam, there is a verse where it is mentioned, when sadhus, they take pleasure in when the snake is being killed, they see enviousness is being destroyed. So then he understood that how I doubted my spiritual master when by seeing his behavior because of my ignorance. A spiritual master conducts his life exactly according to scriptures. Whatever he does, whatever he speaks, is scripture. So there is no question of any doubt. Shall draw for life. The point. I doubt now. So they take pleasure because they see the snake and the scorpion to be enviousness, and that is being beaten. That is being killed. That's what it is. Okay. Questions? Yeah, the snake left with this. Yeah, Arjuna's statue there is not showing the mood of an acharya. Arjuna's statue is showing the mood of being completely engrossed in chanting the names of the Lord, that the snake, it saw Krishna within the heart of Arjuna's statue. And then it just left. If somebody is completely non-envious, these poisonous animals, they don't do anything to us. That is why the rishis sometimes all everything is crawling down and they are all doing the tapasya. Because they are not envious, all these things they don't feel anything. Okay, last question. You have a question. Okay. Yes, Prabhu. Yes. Yes. You are the personification of Adhata Brahma Jignyasa. Every class you have a question. And you have a question about yourself. I'll come back to you. Let me answer that question and come back to you. So, Adhata Brahma Jignyasa. See, the first aphorism of Vedanta Sutta. So, the Adhata, it is made up of two Atha. Atha plus Atha becomes Athatva. The first Atha means now. Now means now you are a human. Now you are a human means what? Earlier you were an animal. Is that it? Now you are a good boy. What does that mean? Same way. So Athatva Brahma Jignyasa. First Atha means now. Now means now you are a human. That means earlier you were a animal. So the second Atha means therefore. Now you are a human. So therefore, do something special which you have not done in the animal life. What the animals don't do? They don't enquire like you are enquiring. They are only enquiring about where will I get better food? Where will I get better mating facility? Where will I get better security? Where will I get some meeting facility, sleeping facility? So the whole inquiry is into four things. But now, since you have got a human form of life, Atha, therefore, the second Atha means therefore, ECBA, what we should do? Brahma Jignyasa, inquire into the absolute truth. So, inquiry into the absolute truth means two questions. Number one, why am I suffering in this material world? Number two is, what is my relationship with Krishna? What is the goal of my life, relationship with Krishna? So, this is how Brahma Jignyasa starts. So, inquiry should be into these two fundamental inquiries in life, these two questions. The cause of suffering and the goal of life. So this is called Athato Brahma Jignyasa. So this is how the Vedanta Sutta states. And Srila Prabhupada, he has given a lot of elaborate description of this particular thing. And in the Bhagavatam also, it will come in the second chapter of Bhagavatam, where it is explained, Athato Brahma Jignyasa is explained. Since you got even form of life, you are inquired to the absolute truth. If we don't inquire into the absolute truth, we are as good as animals. If we don't concentrate on why, what is the purpose of my life, what is the goal of my life, and we don't sit and inquire, so we are as good as animals. That is the meaning of a Atha Brahma Jignyasa. Small girl has a question. Yes. Who is Patanjali? Patanjali was a great sage who has written one book called Patanjali Yoga Sutras. This Patanjali Yoga Sutras, the first sutra is Yogaha Chitta Vritti Nirodaha. So he says the purpose of yoga is to remove all the kinds of disturbances in the mind. So that is the purpose of the whole yoga system of philosophy which is mentioned. So this Patanjali, this great sage, he has established a process of self-realization which has got 8 steps. That is Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. Though he has established 8 steps, these days people are only interested in asanas. They want to do some physical exercises. Mayurasana, Datasana, Dishasana. And already Vyasa told, you already before you were an animal, now you have become a human being. Now Patanjali told how you can become other animals also. So many asanas. What are the names of asanas? There is a Bhukurasana also. Mayurasana, Bhukurasana. Varasana is also there. Yes, all asanas are there. Anushasana. So many things are there. They only, but Patanjali wanted that you do all these asanas and ultimately think of Krishna. Of course, for him, understanding of Krishna was not complete. That was a problem. Patanjali tells that we should concentrate on the super soul within the heart. But his understanding of the super soul is not complete. That is the problem of Patanjali. So, that is the introduction to Patanjali. He will not talk about elaborate description of his life. He was a very great yogi at all the siddhis. And if you go to south, there is one place called Rameshwara. That is where Patanjali's main seat is there. That is where he attained many siddhis. His spiritual master is there, Vyakrapada. His deity is also there, Patanjali is also there. Some people say that he took samadhi there. So many things are there. Some small introduction about Patanjali is this. We don't have to worry about it. Why? Because anyhow, we cannot even bend and touch our feet also. What to speak of the asanas. Even if we are able to do that, then there is no question of concentration of mind. Arjuna said, I am not able to concentrate my mind. Because vayavaya sushkaram, controlling the mind, he is as difficult as controlling the wind. Then how is it possible for us when Arjuna could not do it? So, we did not follow what Patanjali has told. We just had to follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions. Srila Prabhupada told, all the yogis are doing so many austerities, but still they will not get Krishna. But devotees can get Krishna and go back home to God by eating rasgullas. That's what I told. Okay, anyone? I think prasadam will be ready. Anyone questions? Well, how Lord Balaram, that is on Balaram Jayanti we will discuss. How Balaram serves in all the 5 results is a very elaborate teaching. Okay. Prasadam is ready. Mahaprasade Govinde. Nama Brahmani Vaishnave. Svalpa Punyavatam Rajan. Vishwasuni Vijayate. Sharira Vidyaja. Indriyatayika Jivepile Vishyasagare Karmadye Jivayati Lovavaya Sudurmati Bhakidita Patina Sansare Nishnavadadayamaya Kaivare Jivaja Saprasadana Dilava Nam to the Pau Shishi Radha Krishna Gunagau Premadabu Shri Chaitanya Nitha Jaini Mai Jaini Tha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram The last announcement for the Badri Yatra. How many seats are left, Badri? Badri?
One child.
Okay. There are three seats left for Badri Yatra. Two old people and one child. So those of you who are interested to come for Badri, from 31st May to 10th June, please contact Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Rajman, Rajman, Rajman.